Let's begin at the beginning and then we'll get to the end. Huh? We'll begin at the beginning, then maybe we'll get to the end, then maybe we'll come back to the beginning. The last Shabbos was called the Shabbos HaGadol. And there are many reasons that are suggested by the Mefarshim as to why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. Either is related to the Haftarah, which is references Yom HaGadol V'Hanoira, the day of the coming of Mashiach. Other possible, the day that the Rav Darshan's, the Gadol of the Ear. Very beautiful reasons as to why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. However, the Torah offers what is the official explanation, and that is because a Nes Gadol occurred on the Shabbos prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it was on that day, says the Torah, that Klal Yisrael designated their sheep as a Korban Pesach. And even though the sheep was a deity in Mitzrayim, was worshipped by the Egyptians, they did not impede Klal Yisrael's efforts, they didn't protest or prevent them from bringing the sheep as a Korban to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was a Nes Gadol. And since it was a Nes Gadol, the Shabbos, which was the day that they designated these sheep, became known as Shabbos HaGadol. So in other words, Shabbos HaGadol is a celebration of the fact that in miraculous fashion, Klal Yisrael was able to fulfill the Pasuk in Parshas Boy of Mishchu Ukhu Lachem Tzoyin L'mishpachoy Seichem Shal Chatu HaPesach. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, pull yourself aside and appoint and designate animals, sheep, to be brought as a Korban Pesach. And the Medrash comments on that Pasuk with regards to designating the Korban Pesach, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, Mishchu, pull yourself aside, that Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact commanding Klal Yisrael, instructing them to pull themselves out of the atmosphere of Avodah Zarah in which they lived, where the sheep was worshipped as a deity, and appoint that same sheep as an animal for the Korban Pesach. However, the Eish Kodesh, the Piazetz Nereba, asks that Klal Yisrael was now at the crescendo of their journey out of Mitzrayim. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu had presumably commanded them or instructed them numerous times to refrain from worshipping Avodah Zarah. So why was this reiterated now? Mishchu, pull yourselves out of that atmosphere of Avodah Zarah in which you live and appoint a sheep as a Korban Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them numerous times, presumably at this point, to refrain from worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the Eish Kodesh explains that now Moshe Rabbeinu was not just asking them to refrain from worshipping Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking them to do much more, to take that animal that was a deity of Mitzrayim and bring it as a Korban Pesach, as a Korban to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that entailed much more than simply being committed to the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That entailed Klal Yisrael acknowledging that their very essence, their identity, is defined by the Torah and the mitzvahs. The mamash is nothing else other than worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzrayim, or the culture of Mitzrayim, had no significance to them, to the degree that they were able to take a sheep that was worshipped in Mitzrayim and bring it as a carbon to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was asking much more than simply refraining from worshipping Avodah Zarah. This was asking Klal Yisrael to make this kind of statement that there is nothing else in their world other than serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Satmar Rebbe notes in his Haggadah in the Divrei Yoel that why is it that we refer to our exodus from Mitzrayim as Yitzias Mitzrayim? Should have really been more accurately Yitziah mi Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim, our leaving, our departing Mitzrayim. But why do we refer to it then as Yitzias Mitzrayim? Which really implies Mitzrayim is leaving. So says the Satmar Rebbe, because it's not only important, it was not only critical historically for us to have left Mitzrayim, and that's what we're celebrating on Pesach, but also the fact that Mitzrayim left us, that we have to remove ourselves from or allow the influence of Mitzrayim and their orientation, their mindset, to leave us. And as we left Mitzrayim, we can not only have to make sure that we left Mitzrayim physically, but that we left Mitzrayim spiritually as well, and that Mitzrayim, the influence of Mitzrayim, has left us, and that in our world, there is nothing else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have an exclusive relationship with the Torah and the mitzvahs. That was what part of Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. Therefore, in a certain degree, the Leil HaSeder is a Sudas Chasana, is a marriage between Klal Yisrael and the mitzvahs. Tosfos and Masechtas Pesachim and Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis quotes from the Yerushalmi That just like a chassan is not allowed to be secluded together with a kala until after the wedding, before the wedding an arus is also barusoso, they're not allowed to be together. So too, says Yushalmi, one is not allowed to eat matzah erev Pesach. That's like a chassan and kala before the wedding. What's the wedding? The Leil HaSeder. Even at the wedding itself, we know that chassan and kala are not allowed to be secluded together with one another until after Sheva Brochus underneath the chuppah. So too writes the Ma'aril, the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Gra, so too we don't eat the matzah until after first reciting Sheva Brochus, because we have the three brochus of Kiddush, Bar Pri Adama of Karpas, the Goal Yisrael at the end of Magid, Bar Pri Agofen, and then Atilos Yadayim before Moitzi Matzah, seven brochus. Why seven brochus? That's the Sheva Brochus of the wedding that we are being united with the matzah. Continues the Sefer Chamra Tava, one of the descendants of the Mephtoli of Rafshitz. That's why the matzah is shaped in a circle, because that is the tabas kiddushin. That is the ring that is being offered to us in kiddushin and marriage by the Ribbono Shel Olam in our marriage together with the mitzvah. So the Leil HaSeder, to a certain degree, emphasizes this theme as well, that we are being, we have an exclusive relationship with the mitzvahs. Mitzrayim has left us all influence of Mitzrayim, and there is nothing else in our world except for the mitzvahs. We have that kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. And that's why we have to, at the Seder, understand that the mitzvahs have to be all that we care about, really, all that we think about, perhaps even all that we dream about. We mentioned the other day, Rashi Mesechtes Pesachim and Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, where Rashi writes that the Dalet Kaisis that we have at the Leil HaSeder correspond not to the Dalet Lashonos of Geula, but rather correspond to the four times the word Kais appears in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim. All the way back in Parshas Vayeshev, it was interpreted by Yosef. It's an interesting tushtel connection between Sarah Mashkim, Kais, four times, and the Leil HaSeder, we have Kais four times. What is the connection between the two? What does one have to do with the other? So in the Sefer called Chibas HaKodesh was written by Rabbi Elio Kalatskin. Elio Kalatskin was the Rav in Lublin before the war. Later, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, was very active in being Mater Agunos at different points in history. So he asked this in his Sefer on Drush called Chibas HaKodesh. What is the connection between the four kaisis that appear in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim and the Dawud kaisis that we drink in the Leil HaSeder? So he suggests that perhaps the connection is the following. He says, it's Pesach after all. So he answers a question with another question. He says, how did Yosef know to interpret the dream of the Sar HaMashkim positively, and that he would be returned to his post, and the dream of the Sar HaOifer, the dream of the Sar HaOfim, the baker, negatively, that he would be removed from his post and put to death? How did Yosef know? So the Rav Elio Kalatskin explained, even though the dreams are somewhat similar, the dream of the Sar HaOifim had three baskets full of bread, and the dream of the Sar HaMashkim had three vines of grapes, but the dream of the Sar HaMashkim is somewhat different, because the Sar HaMashkim continues his dream that he takes those grapes, squeezes the grapes, put them into the cup of Paro, and later presents the kais before Paro. So it says of Elio Kalatskin, all the Sar HaMashkim was dreaming about, this is what he lived for, his mahus, his essence, his definition was, his life's mission was to serve Paroi. The Sar HaOifim dreamt of bread, but he didn't dream of serving Paro. However, the Sar HaMashkim, that's all he lived for, was to serve Paro. So it says that the Chibas HaKadosh Elio Kalatskin, when that's all a person lives for, he's that committed to something, inevitably, undoubtedly, in the end, he will be successful. And we remind ourselves of this by drinking the Dalet Kaisis of the Leil HaSeder, because that has to be our relationship with the mitzvahs too. Is our relationship with the mitzvahs is not those that we keep the mitzvahs. That's not enough. We have to live the mitzvahs. This has to be all we care about, all we think about, all we dream about. Not just keeping the mitzvahs, we drink four cups. But just like all the Sar HaMashkim thought about was serving Paro, we have to live to serve the mitzvahs, to observe the mitzvahs, not just something that we do on the side. We have to allow Mitzrayim to leave us and understand that there cannot be anything else other than the mitzvahs. That's one of the messages of the Seder. This family of Rav Gifter says over Amaisa, Rav Gifter, of course, was a Rosh Hashiva in Tells. He was an alumnus of YU, though. But not for now, another time. So Rav Gifter once went to Mexico to collect money for Telzu Yeshiva. And he came to the home of a wealthy individual, and he knocked on the door. Wife answered the door, said he's not home. She said, come back later in the afternoon, he'll be back from work. She comes back later in the afternoon. Again, the guy's knocks on the door, not home. She says, come back this evening. Fine, he comes back that night, again knocks on the door, answers the door, he's not home, he's still at work. She says, you know what, go to his office tomorrow, early in the morning, before he gets involved in anything, he'll have time to talk to you then. So Gifter went to the man's home, the office, the next day, in the morning, and he shows up, and lo and behold, the guy's already on the phone with a business deal somewhere halfway across the world. So he says, sorry, he says, apologizes to Gifter, says, I'm sorry, I just don't have time to talk to you now. So Gifter said, I understand, but I just have one question for you. He says, you know, I was at your home 3 times yesterday. He says, you have such a beautiful home. Why do you bother having such a beautiful home if you're never there? Why have such a house? So the man told him, he said, you're right, the house is not for me. The house is for my wife, for my kids. He says, I spend all my time here in the office. Because he said, in order to be successful in business, brach men ligin in geschäft. He said, you have to live the business. If you don't live the business, not what you do 24/7, you'll never be successful. So if Gifter told him, he said, thanked him, he said, I received more from you than just a donation. He says, because now he understands that if in order to be successful in business, brach men ligin in geschäft, you have to live in the business. So he said, so to be successful in Torah and mitzvahs also, it can't just be something that you do, have a job, you go to work 9 to 5. You're not successful like that. You want to be successful in business, you have to live the business. It has to be all that you think about, what you care about, all you dream about. So too, lahavdil, achas kama v'kama, when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, it has to be not just something that we do. In order to be successful, it has to be something that brach men ligin in geschäft. You have to live to do the mitzvahs. It can't just be something that we do on the side, Torah, something we do on the side. It has to be what we think about, what we care about, what we're perhaps even dreaming about. All the influences of Mitzrayim, everything else, there's no room for that. All there's room for is for Torah and mitzvahs. We conclude the Seder with the mystical song of the Chad Gadya, but right, which we discussed already, but right before that, we have the Echad Mi Yodea. Who knows one? I know one. Who knows two? I know two is the Luchos, three is the Ovis, four is the Imahos. Everybody has their own beautiful Nigunim for that song. But it seems like a not appropriate way to conclude the Seder. We're going back to preschool with the ones and twos and threes and learning the numbers and basic concepts of Judaism. That was just an appropriate way to conclude one of the holiest nights of the year. We've reached Madregas, the Maral rites are reserved for Yom Kippur, and now all of a sudden we're back to nursery school with how is this an appropriate way to conclude the Seder? So Rav Gurvitz, who is the Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead, writes in his Haggadah that Lahavdil, just like a psychologist, a person goes to a psychologist, and they give them a Rorschach test. Rorschach test is the ink blot test. You know, they give you an ink blot. The first one is like this bat, and the second one is, if you've ever seen ink blots, and they ask you, what do you see in the ink blot? And by asking these types of questions, you can see, well, what is the person, what's his personality, what's his orientation, what's his mindset, what is he thinking about in the deepest recesses of his mind will express itself in his associations with how he describes the picture. So to explain Rav Gurvitz that Lahavdil, that's how we conclude the Seder. The final exam, the exit exam from the Seder, were we successful, is, well, what do we see in one? And in our world, there can only be one. There's one Ribbono Shel Olam. In our world, there's only two. There's two Luchos. There's only one, three of us. It's not Babe Ruth. It's not your favorite baseball player who wore one, two, or three. It's this has to be all we're thinking about. This has to be everything. For us, there is no room for anything else, and that's perhaps the exit exam for the Seder. Were we successful in uniting ourselves together with the mitzvahs, becoming married to the mitzvahs, is, well, what does one mean to you? What does two mean to you? What does three mean to you? And we have to get all these answers right, that it means the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Luchos, the Ovos, the Imos. I even think that's why there's two answers. What's 13? 13 is what? What's 13? Anybody remember from the... Come on, what is that? Midaya. What midas? What's midaya? So it's machlokes in the mafarshim on the Haggadah. Some say it means the midas harachmim. Yud gimel midas harachmim. That's for the chassidim. They care about midas harachmim. But then there's another pshat. Is that it's yud gimel midas shatar nidreshes behem. That's for the yeshivish guys. That's for the rishivish guys. And for them, it's all, what is this Torah? For the chassidim, it's for the yud gimel midas harachmim. Whatever your orientation. But that's why there's two possible explanations. But when a person has this mindset, He has this orientation, so then a person becomes, you know, when he's that connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everywhere in his life, everything he looks at, he sees the Ribbono Shel Olam. So then a person becomes overwhelmed with Hakaras HaTov, the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he's provided him with, everything that he's given him. And that's why, in a certain sense, the Leil HaSeder is not just a sudas, a chasana, perhaps, between ourselves and the matzah, ourselves and the mitzvahs. Perhaps the Leil HaSeder is also a sudas haidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything that he's given us. The Gra writes in his Haggadah that the reason why we have four kaisis at the Leil HaSeder is based on the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, where the Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis that there are four people who have to bench Goymo. Arba'a Tzrichon L'Hoidos. One is a Chavish B'Veis HaAsurim. Person's in jail and then he was freed. Then you have a Chayla V'Nisrapa. He was sick and he got better. And then you have Hochei Midbaros and Yardei Hayam. Person who traveled through a desert or traversed the seas has to bench Goymo. A Shaila, we could discuss a different time about flying over the seas, not traveling through the sea. What if you fly over the sea? Do you have to bench Goymo? That's why some bench Goymo when they come back from Eretz Yisrael and some don't. So explain the Gra that we have four kaisis of wine at the Leil HaSeder corresponding to these four Arba'a Tzrichon L'Hoidos, because it says we experienced all of these phenomena, all of these Yeshuas on our way out of Mitzrayim. Because first we were Avadim to Paro, like a Chavish B'Veis HaSurim, but we were freed. We were liberated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu inflicted the Mitzrayim with all different types of illnesses and ailments. But Klal Yisrael was saved. Kol hamachla shesamtei Mitzrayim lo yasim alecha ki ani Hashem roifecha, the pasuk says. Kadosh Baruch Hu healed us or saved us, spared us from these illnesses. So we were chayla v'nisrapa. Then we traveled through a midbar in order to get to Kriyas Yamsuf, where we traversed the sea. So since we experienced all four of these Yeshuas, and to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have four cups of Hakaras HaTov, of Arba'a Tzrichon L'Hoidos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, corresponding to these four Yeshuas. Chassam Sofer writes as well in his drushes that just like the carbon taida, a carbon of thanksgiving, is a carbon shlomim fundamentally, but it's different than a carbon shlomim. Typically, a carbon shlomim has 2 days in which it could be eaten. It has 2 days and one night, which is a more extended period of time. A carbon taida is a shorter period of time. It has to be a smaller window. It's 1 day and one night. And it was brought in together with lachmei toida. It's brought in together with matzah and with bread. So too, the carbon pesach is a kind of carbon toida. Fundamentally, it's a carbon shlomim, but has a limited window in which it could be eaten. Till chatzais, after chatzais, has a limited window when it could be eaten, just that night of the Leil HaSeder. And we bring it al matzah zimra miyachluhu. It's brought together with matzah, because carbon pesach is also just like is a similar type, just like a carbon toida, is a carbon of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And that person only arrives at this realization when he has this the orientation that we spoke about, that he's married to the mitzvahs, he's married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whoever he looks in his life, he begins to see the Yad Hashem, and then he expresses HaKaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we went to the beginning, Shabbos HaGadol, then we went to the end, Echad Miyodeh. Let's come back to the beginning again. We begin the Magid with the Halach Ma'anya. Where we invite everybody into our Seder. Kol dechvin yesevi, kol kol detzrich yesevi yifsoch. Rabbi say, anybody ever have someone walk in their Seder when we say this? Kol dechvin yesevi, kol. Really, you mean that? Go, some have a minute, open the door. Anybody ever come in? Anybody ever show up? Is there a guy waiting there? So what's the point of this whole thing? So the Ritva writes in his Perush on the Haggadah that we're trying to demonstrate Derech Cherus, just like a free man could have guests over, he has lots of resources. A poor man, a slave, can't have guests over because he doesn't have anything to offer them. But a free man has what to offer. So in order to emphasize our freedom, we open the door. But perhaps in a certain sense, it's symbolic. Meaning, this is part of what the Rambam writes, that at the Leil HaSeder, Chayav Adam not Lirois is Atzmo Kihilu Hu Yatzmi Mitzrayim, but the Chayav Adam Laharois is Atzmo Kihilu Hu Yatzmi Mitzrayim. We have to demonstrate, we have to act as if we just left Mitzrayim. So even though we don't really expect anybody, we hope no one's at the door. Darshanim say that's why we open the door, by Shvei Chamascha, Alagoy Mashelo Yidu'ucha, Bishim Chalai Karo. Why do we open the door by Shvei Chamascha? because we're trying to make sure there's no goyim listening outside the Seder. Before we say Shvei Chamaska, we want to make sure we're not being bugged. So first we lean out the door. The coast is clear. Now we can close the door. Shvei Chamaska. But anyway, we hope no one's standing outside over there by the door. So why do we bother doing it? So perhaps it's because, again, Chayv Adam, not only Leroy says Asma Kehilu Hu Yatzmit Mitzrayim, but Chayv Adam Laharoy says Asma. We have to demonstrate as if we just left Mitzrayim. Act that way. And part of acting that way is opening the door for our guests, even though we don't expect, we actually hope, that no one is waiting there in order to come in. But it's more to go along with the whole theme of the night. Perhaps that's why we begin as well with the Manishtana, with the four kashas that should be encouraged the children to ask. But we really provide them with no answers. Why do we encourage the children to ask questions? Manishtana, the karpas might only be to encourage the children to ask questions. We encourage to ask them all these questions, and we don't give them any answers. That's the first question of the night. Where's the answers? But why do we encourage them to ask all these questions? Well, why is asking questions so critical? So the Brisky Rav explains, in the name of his father, in the name of Reb Chaim, that because one of the differences of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that's unique to the Leil HaSeder as opposed to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that applies every night of the year, is because Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be Derech She'elo U'tshuva, has to be question and answer format. That's critical to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why does it have to be in question, as opposed to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? I could just remember it. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we got to tell the whole story, and it has to be question and answer. Why is the dafka have to be question and answer? One could have said, by the way, you know why there's no answers to any of these kashas? The Nesivus writes this in his Haggadah, the Maase Nisim, because that's the first lesson of the Seder. The whole purpose of the Seder, perhaps, on a certain level, is a lesson in Emunah. Later on in the Haggadah, we say, Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevayim, kulanu zakeinim, kulanu yodim es ha-Torah mitzvah, leinu lesafer b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Even if we'd all be chachamim, we'd all be nevayim, we'd all be zakeinim, we'd still have a mitzvah to talk about the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Netziv asks in his Haggadah, that's this, the Imre Shefer, he asks, how come we don't say that by Lulav? Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevayim, kulanu yodim es ha-Torah mitzvah, leinu likach es ha-Lulav. We don't say that. Mitzvah aleinu v'sanois v'yom kippur. Afil klonu chachamim, klonu nevayim, klonu yodim es ha-Torah. How come we don't find such a preamble by other mitzvahs? So the Netziv says, because the Leil HaSeder is about chizuk and emunah, about understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in our world and seeing the Yad Hashem in our world, which all began at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim when we had Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated the fact that he's involved in our world. And that's part of emunah. So that's what the whole theme of the Leil HaSeder is, to be mechazek us in emunah. So therefore, says in Netziv, we have to make a statement at the beginning, even if you're a believer already, even if you're a maimon, we don't need the chizuk in emunah. Afinu konu chachamim, konu nevayim, konu yodim es ha-Torah, mitzvah, konu yisabim, yitzis mitzvah, mitzvah, I don't need that emunah, chizuk in emunah, I'm a believer, don't worry. No, the answer is we still mitzvah, konu yisabim, yitzis mitzvah, konu marv, yisabim, yitzis mitzvah, because that's the whole purpose of the night, was a chizuk in emunah. Yeah. So the Nesivus writes in his Haggadah, there is no answer. You know what? You know why there is no answer? We don't answer. How come there's two dippings and not one? How come we're leaning? Where do we ever mention the leaning? We only mention at the beginning. Kulanu Mesubin. So the Nesivus writes, because since tonight the whole theme is a lesson in Emunah, the first lesson that we learn in Emunah is that there's not always answers to questions. You ask questions. We teach the children, ask us questions. I don't have the answer. That's the answer. Meaning that's the lesson. Understand when you come to ask questions in Emunah, there might not always be answers. We can, some things we can't explain. Tzadik v'raloi, Rosh v'toivloi. We don't understand these things. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't understand it. So that's what perhaps why we begin with the Manishtana, where specifically there are no answers, says the Nesivus, because that's the first lesson in Emunah, is there's no answers. They say in the name of the Kutzker, that we say, Ein kelokeinu, Ein kadoneinu. Say at the end of davening, if you're Nusuch Sfarad, every day, if you're Nusuch Ashkenaz, and only on Shabbos. But Ein kelokeinu, Ein kadoneinu. After that, we say, Mi kelokeinu, Mi kadoneinu. Who is like our God? Who's like our Master? So the Kutzker Rebbe said, if you believe Ein kelokeinu, Ein kadoneinu, your belief is not dependent on the answers to the questions, then you can ask, Mi kelokeinu, Mi kadoneinu. Who's like our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who's like our Master? But if your emunah is only predicated upon the answer, I mean, if you have answers, I'll believe. If there's no answers, I won't believe. So says the Kuska, then you have no right to ask questions. We're not interested in you. So too, the first lesson of the Leil HaSeder is that Amuna cannot be based on the answers to the questions. We say to the children, ask all your questions you want. Haha, I have no answers. You still believe. We still have to declare our Amuna in the Ribbono Shel. Even though sometimes we don't have answers, our Amuna cannot be based on the only on the answers. But perhaps why asking the questions, why does it have to be Derech She'elo Tshuva, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that's unique to the Leil HaSeder, is because tonight is not just about remembering a nes that took place, commemorating it. It's about re-experiencing the Leil HaSeder. As the Rambam said, Chayv Adam Laharos Es Atzma Ke'ilu Hu Yatzas Mimitzrayim. Not just to see ourselves as if we left, but to demonstrate, to act as if we just left. If something just happened to you, Rabbi, say you talked to somebody who just went through an unbelievable experience, something that was transformative or traumatic, and yeah, they can't stop talking about it. You know, all the gory details and this and that. And you know, and so when something happens, you ask questions. Oh, yeah, what happened here? What did you do there? Oh, yeah, you did that. And how did you respond? And how did you react? There's always questions and answers. You're trying to get more information. If you're talking about something we all remember, we all experienced, it's familiar, so you don't ask questions and answers. You say, oh, remember that? Oh, yeah, we were both there. We remember it. Yeah. Oh yeah, good times. So that's Zecher Yetzias. You know, that's the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim of every night of the year. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is as if it's just happening. We're re-experiencing now for the first time. So just like we invite guests in because we're just experiencing this now, or we're trying to act as if we're experiencing it now. So we invite people in even though we don't really expect them to come in. So too, part of re-experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim as if it's happening now in real time is about having Derech She'elu Tshuva, that there should be questions and answers. And even if we don't have answers at this point, that's not really the important part. Just like we don't expect anybody to walk into the door, the important part is trying to re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim in real time. So too, perhaps even if we don't have answers to the questions, that's the point, is to make not only to find answers, but to experience, to act as if we're experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim for the first time. And part of that is that should be She'elu Tshuva. Why is the Halach Ma'anya, though, in Aramaic? One of the first questions everybody asks. You know, later on in the Seder, the people, the interest peters out, you know. People don't have so much interest, so we always focus on the beginning of the Haggadah, even though it's very rich, the end of the Haggadah, too. But. So why is it in Aramaic? The whole Haggadah is not in Aramaic. Why is this part in Aramaic? So the Netziv writes in his Hagdamah to the Imre Shefer, to his Haggadah, that it's in Aramaic, because this part was added after Churban Beis HaMikdash. While the Beis HaMikdash was Kayam, so everyone focused on the Karban Pesach. Now, what are we focusing on? Our whole Seder, all we have, what are we left with over here? The Shirayim. What kind of Seder is this? We have no Karban Pesach. What do we have? All we have is Matzah. So Halach Ma'anya, this is the Matzah that we ate in Mitzrayim. You know, we focus on the Matzah. So the Netziv says that's why it's written in Aramaic. It came after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when they were Beis HaMikdash HaKayim and they had the Karban Pesach, we focused on the Karban Pesach. But now, this was added afterwards, that's why it's in Aramaic, what we have is the matzah. Some say that's why we conclude the Seder with the Shana Habah B'Yerushalayim. I think we mentioned this once this year. What are the two times in the year we conclude the day or some sort of service with the Shana Habah B'Yerushalayim? Some people have conclude every Shabbos meal with the Shana Habah B'Yerushalayim, but it's really every time there's a first dance, second dance. But traditionally, there was only two times that we use the phrase L'shana Habah B'Yerushalayim. One is the Leil HaSeder and Yom Kippur. So why Yom Kippur and the Leil HaSeder? So perhaps the answer is because these are the two times throughout the year that the nature of the day is fundamentally different because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Yom Kippur used to be focused around the Avod of the Kohen Gadol. And Pesach used to be focused around the Karban Pesach. And nowadays, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the entire nature of the day is different. Chanukah is, you know, all the other Yomim Tovim doesn't really make a difference whether Beis HaMikdash, obviously it does, but not in the same degree. It's not critical to the day in the same way, not the very definition of the day. But Yom Kippur was all revolving around the Avodah of the Yom Kohen Gadol. Pesach revolved around the Karban Pesach, and nowadays if we don't have it anymore, the nature of the day has changed. That's why we conclude L'shana Habah B'Yerushalayim. We look forward to the day when the nature of the day will revert back to that which it was supposed to be. But the Netziv claims that the nature of the Seder changed. It used to be focused around the Karban Pesach, and now it's focused around, revolves around the Matzah. And that's why it's in Aramaic, because it was added later. However, the Netziv writes that there is some remnant of the fact, you know, reminders of the fact that it used to revolve around the Karban Pesach. So says the Netziv, that's why we wear a kittel. Famous explanation of the Netziv. Why do we wear a kittel? Married men wear a kittel at the Seder. So traditionally, in the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch, there's two reasons brought for this. One is because it's Derech Eros, it's a fancy garment. You look, you know, all white. Even though it's probably much cheaper than the suit that's underneath, you know, that's underneath it. But but it's supposed to be fancier than the other garments. So it's Derech Eros. That's what the Taz quotes in the name of the Bach. That's why the Bach says in Ovel, B'yom Rishon, Shana Rishona, an Ovel in the first year of Avelo should not wear a kittel. Because it's Derech Eros, and he's sad. He's in a period of mourning for his lost parent. So that's why an Ovel, B'shana Rishona, doesn't wear, first year after the parent passes away, doesn't wear a kittel. But the Taz disagrees, who is the son-in-law of the Bach. He says, no, that the kittel is not Derech Eros. Derech Eros with the kittel. The kittel is the Haskir Yom HaMisa, just like we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. It's to be doima a little bit to Malachi HaShares, that's true. It's kind of like a royal feeling. But at the same time, it's also the Haskir Yom HaMisa. So says the Taz that there's not, that therefore it's not inappropriate for an Ovel to wear a kittel during the year, during the Yud Beis Chodesh for his parent. And there are two minhagim. Some Avelim do wear a kittel, some Avelim don't wear a kittel. Some chassanim don't wear a kittel in the first year. That I don't know what the source for that is. I thought maybe it's because we're becoming married to the matzah at the Seder. We don't want to interrupt, but here you just became married to this woman. She's going to say, already you're marrying somebody else, you know, the matzah. What about me? So maybe we don't want to mix messages. So we leave the kittel out the first year. At the end of the day, I recommend to people, unless you have a strong minig not to wear a kittel the first year, Shana Rishayna, I recommend to chassanim that they do wear a kittel. Perhaps the kittel reminds us shaloishinu es shemam, loishinu es l'shaynam, loishinu es malbusham. They didn't change the way that they wore. The clothes that they wore in Mitzrayim, so we all wear long, just like we wore long coats in Europe. So over here, we come over to America, everybody's still wearing long. At the Lo HaSeder, we wear a long coat. Because to remind ourselves, we didn't change the way we dressed. That was one of the reasons we left Mitzrayim. However, the Netziv gives all an entirely different reason. The Netziv says, because in the Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, they would eat the Karban Pesach, you had to wear white linen garments to eat the Karban Pesach. So it says the Netziv, this is a reminder of what used to be Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, and they were eating a Karban Pesach, that they ate it wearing white garments. That's why the Netziv claims, at the beginning of the Seder, what do we have right after Kadesh? We have Urchatz, that you... we wash our hands for the karpas, which is tibulo b'mashke, which is dipped in water. Fresh fruits and vegetables that are dipped in water, so bizman shabbos hamikdash hayikayim, and people were eating chumas and maisers and kachim, so we were afraid that the kohen would be tameh when he ate chumas, so everybody washed their hands when they ate the things that were tibulo b'mashke, in case there'd be a kohen at the table, and the kohen would be eating chuma b'tumah. This is sort of the basis for Netilas Yadayim as well, that we do before bread, but fruits and vegetables, according to most Rishonim, were not included in that same mitzvah midrabanan of washing for bread. Washing for bread was ordained by Chazal as a mitzvah midrabanan officially. Washing for tibulo b'mashke not, so that's why the whole year long we're not really makbid to wash, and it's something which is tibulo b'mashke. So hakam, all of a sudden, comes the Leil HaSeder, and we're makbid to wash, and something that's tibulo b'mashke. I saw recently, I don't remember where. That's why this is called Urchatz. Later on, it's called Rachza. We washed before the Moitzi Matzah. It's called Rachza. This is Urchatz. Urchatz is a command. Go wash. Rachza is, and we wash. What's Urchatz? How come this one is a command? Because normally people will say, I don't normally do this. Sorry, I don't wash before for fruits and vegetables, Tibbul B'mashka. So the Haggadah tells us, no, Urchatz, go do it. Washing before bread, hopefully we all do that. So that's Rachza. Washing, you're familiar with. This is something out of the ordinary. Urchatz, go do it. It has to remind us to go do it. Why are we all of a sudden washing for David that's Tibul B'mashka the whole year long? We're not makbid for it. All of a sudden comes the Leil HaSeder and we become makbid. Says in Netziv, because we're reenacting what used to be at the time, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, when they were eating the Karban Pesach. So says in Netziv, therefore, we have to, since we're conducting ourselves like it was at the time of the Karban Pesach, so we have to therefore go through the whole routine of wearing a kittel, the white garments they used to eat at the time they ate the Karban Pesach, and we have to wash our hands like they conducted themselves at the time of the Karban Pesach. Some say, the Darshanim say, that's what the Kadesh precedes Urchatz. We say Kadesh, be Makadesh yourself, you know, become more holy, like the time that the Beis HaMikdash Hayakayim, and then do Urchatz. Meaning understand that, like I said, we're conducting ourselves on a different level, a different plane. The whole year long, we acknowledge the fact that there's a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Becomes the Leil HaSeder, we're trying to recreate, you know, that experience that existed at the time that Beis HaMikdash Hayakayim, to have that closer relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we wear the white garments, as if the Beis HaMikdash would be Kayim, and perhaps we wash on something, even though that's Tibur B'mashki, even though the whole year long we don't do it, because we're trying to conduct ourselves like the time the Beis HaMikdash existed. Yeah.
Where is it recorded that they were white when they ate?
Because the Pasuk says, it's if closed. I'll find it for you. It's based on a Pasuk. Yeah.
So Yankees usually wash first and then do Kiddush.
Right.
So how does this make sense here in this situation?
Yeah, at the Seder, do that?
I'm a Yankee, so you...
Do you wash before Kadesh?
I haven't really thought about it before, but no.
Nobody does.
But should I go with the usual Yankee custom every other day time?
Oh, you're asking in general? Should you wash before Kiddush?
I'm saying I usually wash and then I say Kiddush.
But nobody does that Seder night.
Right.
Nobody does that. Why not? It's too much of a hefsek.
Okay.
Between your washing for the bread, it comes before the Kiddush. The Kiddush is part of the meal, but you're not going to eat the bread until much later. It's too big of a hefsek. That's what I would presume. I'm not a bucky in Yekishim and Hagim, but that's what I would presume. The Ari HaKadosh writes in his Sefer HaKavonos, that I think we mentioned this, that Lechem is Begematria 78. The Shem Havaya is Begematria 26. So he says 3 times 26 is 78. That's why we dip the bread in salt 3 times. We mentioned that. In order that we should be entrenched in Midas Harachamim, which is represented by the Shem Havaya. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes the Minig, Alpinister, to dip the chal in the bread 3 times. However, the Leil HaSeder, we have Matzah. Matzah is Begematria 135. So the Ari HaKadosh writes that Havaya, if it's written Shalem, Havaya means if it's written Shalem is Hey Aleph, Vav, Aleph, Vav, Yud, Vav, Dalet. So it comes out to be 45. If you spell out the Shem Havaya with the Ba'asya Shlemus, you spell out the sound of the letters, it comes out to be 45. 3 times 45 is 135, equals Matzah. So it says the Ari HaKadosh, tonight's like the other nights, you know, but the Shem Havaya is B'Shlei Musa. Normally the whole year long we conduct ourselves, we have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, like we're in Golos. Comes the Leil HaSeder, we have the same type of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we had at the time of the Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. That's why the Ari HaKadosh continues. We begin the Seder, Manishtana, Memhei, 45. What's the difference between this night and all the other nights? Tonight, the Shem Hashem is written Shalem. is 45, because each the Shem Havaya written Shalem is 45. So he says that's why we begin the Seder with 45, because tonight we have a full relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only did we experience a physical liberation from bondage, but we also experienced a spiritual geula. Later on in the Haggadah, we have the three things from Rabbi Gamliel. Gamliel Hayoimer. That whoever doesn't say these three things at the Leil HaSeder, Pesach, Matzah. Then the Haggadah asks, Matzah Zushana Oichlam Al Shumma. Why do we eat the Matzah? Why do we eat the Matzah? What does the Haggadah say? Anybody say, anybody remember? Why do we eat the Matzah? Al Shum, it's not fair, I have Haggadah in front of me. Al Shum Shalah Hispik B'Tzeikam Shalavaseinu Lahachmitz. Because we ran out of Mitzrayim, we didn't have time for the dough to rise. We were on our way out, and therefore, we eat matzah, which is not risen. However, this statement of Rebbe Gamliel appears in a Mishnah, Masechtas Pesachim, Adaf Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Same statement from Gamliel. Whoever doesn't say, Kol Shalah Omer Shalash Yitzvarim Amud Pesach, L'Yosi Deichai Vosa. And there the Mishnah asks, Matzah zu shanu oichlem al shum ma. This matzah that we eat at the Leil HaSeder, why do we eat it? So the Mishnah there says, al shem shenigalu avisenu mimitzrayim. Because we redeemed from Mitzrayim. It's a different answer than appears in the Haggadah. Strange. How come in the Haggadah we have Al-Shum Shalah Hizbik B'tzeikam Shalah V'seinu La-Hachmitz? And over here we have that it's in the Mishnah, it's Al-Shem Sh'nigalu Av'seinu Mi-Mitzrayim. So the Noda B'Yehuda has Drashas on Shabbos Haggadah. So in the Noda B'Yehuda's Drashas Hatzlach, the Noda B'Yehuda's Drashas on Shabbos Haggadah, he asked this question and he explains, because the Mishnah is addressing itself to the time that Beis HaMikdash Hayakayim. When the Beis HaMikdash is around, so we celebrate the physical, you know, we're functioning on that higher level of Ruchnius already. So what do we celebrate? We celebrate our physical release from bondage. You know, the fact that we were Avodim, and now we have the ability to have be free in a practical sense. So Al-Shem Sh'nigalu Av'seinu Mi-Mitzrayim. Nowadays, though, what's the nature of the Seder? Rabbi say we're still in Golos. We're still, so what can we celebrate? How can we celebrate the fact that we were physically liberated in a Gashmiistic sense from Mitzrayim? We're still Novenod. We're still in the diaspora going from one place to the next. All we can celebrate is the fact that we had a spiritual Geula from Mitzrayim. That's the focus of tonight. The physical, the fact that we escaped from Mitzrayim and ran out of Mitzrayim, that we can't celebrate. We're still in Golos. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, and we can celebrate that. So we can celebrate. Hashem Sh'nigalu Av'seinu Mi-Mitzrayim. Nowadays, we're in Golos. What kind of Seder can we have? We're in Golos. The answer is, we remind ourselves of the fact that we left Mitzrayim in a Ruchniistic sense. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to rush us out of Mitzrayim? What was that? Why was time of the essence? So Beis HaLevi explains, because we were on the Memtesh Shari Tumah. If we would have stayed any longer in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, we would have been too far gone. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the Memtesh Shari Tumah and brought us out of Mitzrayim. That's why the Haggadah mentions the Ruchnius Dika Geula at the Seder. We don't mention the physical Geula, because we're still in Golus. All we now is celebrate that closer relationship that we had with the Ribbono Shel Olam leaving Mitzrayim. The fact that we were redeemed in a spiritual sense. A similar notion as well, that the Kli Chemda is a pilpul sefer on Chumash by Don Polatsky. It's a fantastic sefer, I mean, it's unbelievable. But it's a certain style, it's like a Polish pilpul style. So in the Kli Chemda, in his Hakdama, he asks, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name, a question many ask, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in the Haggadah anywhere? He's a pretty central figure, you know, main star. So where's Moshe Rabbeinu in the story over here of Yetzias Mitzrayim? How come he doesn't appear? He does appear once. Anybody know where Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears? Not gonna. Ve'aminu b'Hashem over Moshe Abda. Okay, but that's like that's a cameo. You know, where's Moshe Rabbeinu over here? And not only that, Rabbi Yisai, but we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out, loy ayde malach, loy ayde saraf, not with an emissary, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydoi uva'atzmoi took us out. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? He got glossed over, we painted over. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? So explains the Kli Chemda that it's because this Haggadah is designed for a Seder experience in Golos. As we mentioned already, the Halach Ma'anya was added for Golos. This is a Seder in Golos. In Golos, we can't celebrate the fact that we were physically released from Mitzrayim. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu orchestrated. Moshe Rabbeinu orchestrated, says the Kli Chemda, our physical release, from bondage, from the Avdus of Mitzrayim. But that's not what we're celebrating tonight. We can't, because we're back in Golos again, Nebuch. So what do we celebrate tonight at the Lo'a Seder? That unique relationship that we had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu being released from Mitzrayim, the Geula, the spiritual Geula. Spiritual Geula was not orchestrated by Moshe Rabbeinu. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydo v'atzmoy. So that's why the Kli Chemda says Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. The part of the story that he orchestrated, that he brought about, we're not celebrating tonight because we're back in Golos. We can't celebrate that. What are we celebrating tonight? The release, the Geula Ruchni, is the spiritual Geula that we had that was not orchestrated by Moshe Rabbeinu. In our description of, the story of the Seder, from the beginning to the end, we have that we went down to Mitzrayim by Yered Mitzrayim Onus al pi hadibor, against our will because of the Dibor. Who is this? Who's Dibor? So Dibor is probably HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Onus, we were forced because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Ki ger yezarecha be'eretz lo elohem. They'll be strangers in a foreign land, so we had to go down to Mitzrayim. Why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu referred to over here as Dibor? It's not a nice way, you know. We say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, that's difficult enough. Why are we referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Makom, like we do at the time of Nichum Avelim, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem? Why are we referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Makom? But that's more common, at least. What is this? Vayered Mitzrayim Anus Al Pi HaDibor. We were captives of Dibor, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki Geir Yezarech Beretz Lohem, so we have to go down. Why does it describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Dibor? But moreover, why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki Yezarech Beretz Lohem, how come it couldn't be in America? Why'd it have to be in Mitzrayim, Davka? Why Mitzrayim? Why not, I don't know, somewhere else. Why Davka Mitzrayim? So Shlomo Kluger writes in his Haggadah, called Yiriya Shlomo, but I already found similar, not in the fullest sense, but already there's hints to this in the Baal HaTurim and Sefer Bereishis, where Shlomo Kluger explains, Taka, how come we had to go down to Mitzrayim, Dafka in Mitzrayim, and what is this word Dibor? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Dibor? So the Baal HaTurim writes on the Pasuk when Sarah kicks Hagar out of her house, all the way back in Parshas, what Parsha is that in? Parshas Vayera. Sarah kicks Hagar out of the house. So, Parshas Vayera? Parshas. Huh? I think it's Parshas Vayera. Yeah? Parshas Vayera. Sarah kicks Hagar out of the house. So the Pasuk says, Gareshus Hama Zois Vez Bina. She says to Moshe Rabbeinu, kick Hagar out, divorce her from the home. So, the Pasuk also says in Parshas Boy, when Klal Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim, Gareshi Gareshus Che Mizeh. That they should be kicked out of Mitzrayim, similar language. So writes the Baal HaTurim, why did we have to be kicked out of Mitzrayim? Why were Mitzrayim in the first place? As a punishment to the fact that Sarah was insensitive to Hagar and kicked Hagar out with the language of Garesh, as Hama Zois Vez Bina. So because of that, we had to suffer later on of Garesh, Garesh, Eschem Mizeh. We were kicked out of Mitzrayim because Sarah didn't speak nicely to Hagar. She was insensitive. Hagar went out and she starts crying. So because, says the Baal HaTurim, because Sarah didn't speak nicely to Hagar, that's how we ended up in Mitzrayim. So it continues with Shlomo Kluger, that that's why Dafka had to be Mitzrayim. Where did Hagar come from? Hagar, Rashi explains, was a princess from Mitzrayim. So since Hagar was from Mitzrayim, that's why Shlomo Kluger says, we didn't speak nicely, Sarah didn't speak nicely to Hagar, we ended up in Mitzrayim. Why Dafka Mitzrayim? That's where Hagar was from. Why did we end up there? Because Sarah didn't speak nicely. That's Anus Al Pi HaDibor. Since Sarah didn't speak nicely, because of her Dibor, we ended up being stuck in Mitzrayim. That's kind of like a, you know, a punishment for, because of the fact that Sarah didn't speak nicely to her. And perhaps one of the themes of the Seder we discussed already is to make sure that we speak nicely to one another. Even though Sarah was justified in kicking Hagar out, she was insensitive in the way that she went about it. So because of that, the Haggadah stresses that it was Anus Al Pi HaDibor. We ended up in Mitzrayim also because of Mechiras Yosef, which we said Yosef was at fault for instigating the Machlokes with his brothers. Vayavei Yosef es Dibor Samra Al Avihem. He spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers. So since he spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers, Lashon Hara is how we ended up in Mitzrayim. Sarah spoke not nicely. Yosef spoke not nicely about his brothers. And why were we redeemed from Mitzrayim? And what Zechus, one pshat in the Medrash is, because for four things we redeemed from Mitzrayim, Shloshinus Lasham, Loshinus Lashonim, Loshinus Malbusham. But the fourth thing is, according to the Medrash, that we didn't speak Lashon Hara. That's what we redeemed from Mitzrayim. So we went down to Mitzrayim because we didn't speak nicely. We'll only be redeemed from Mitzrayim and there's a chus that we are metaher the way that we speak. Perhaps that's the pshat. We say, Vehi Sham Delavisenu Vilanu. We pick up our curses. And this is what stood for us in all the generations, protected us, even though there were those who sought to kill us and wipe us out and annihilate us. Vihi sham de laviseinu velonu. This is what has stood for us. So everyone asks, what is the subject of that sentence? What's the vihi? Is it the cup of wine? Is it achrechein yotzu berchush gadol? We could always buy our way out of trouble. Or is it, at least we have money. Or is it kigeri yazarech beres lohem? We're strangers in a foreign land. So some say, no, vihi is begematria 22. 22 corresponds to the letters in the Aleph Beis. So it's the way that we speak. Vihi, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, how we use them, how we speak, that is what has stood for us in the generations. That's why we were redeemed. That's why we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, is in the chus of the way that we speak. And last week's parsha, Parshas Metzora, the pasuk introduces the tahara process of the Metzora with the words, Zois tiyat hayras ha-Metzora. This will be the Torah of the Metzora. This is the procedure for becoming tahor. But the Medrash comments five times on Parshiyos Tazriya Mitzayra having to do with Tzaras, which of course is precipitated by Lashon Hara. It says Taira, Zois Tairas, those two words, five times throughout Tazriya Mitzayra. The Medrash collects them. Why does it say it five times? So the Medrash says, in order to teach us that a person who violates Lashon Hara, it's as if he has undermined not only one mitzvah in the Torah, but the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. He's undermined the entire enterprise, the foundation of what Torah is based on, as if you speak Lashon Hara. The Akedas Yitzvah, Rabbi Yitzhak Armoa, one of the classical Mefarshim and Chumash, says that in fact Lashon Hara appears in each one of the Aver of Lashon Hara appears, is mentioned in each one of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In Parashas Bereishis we have that Nachash speaks Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he tells Adam and Chava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, because you'll become like him. He's protecting his turf. So he told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He doesn't want you to become like him. That, of course, was not true. That was Lashon Hara. Then in Sefer Shmos, we have that V'achei noda davar, Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri, and Dothan and Aviram publicize the fact that he killed the Mitzri. Then he realized the matter had gotten out, and he has to escape to Midian. V'achei noda davar, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I realize the matter has become public. How did it become public? Dothan and Aviram are speaking Lashon Hara about it. Parshas Vayikra we have, Parshas Kedoshim, L'Selech Rachel Ba'amecha, the formal Easter of Lashon Hara. Sefer Dvarim, we have, Sefer Bamidbar, we have the Meraglim. Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Kisavu, we have Arar Maka, Arar Maka Reyehu Basaser, cursed should be a person who strikes his friend in private. What's a person who hits his friend in private? Says Rashi, he speaks Lashon Hara about it. Behind closed doors, I'm speaking badly about you. So we have it mentioned in each one of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, says the Akedas Yitzchak. Why is it mentioned in each one of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Because a person who speaks Lashon Hara has violated Kiyu the entirety of Torah. He's undermined all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. However, the Ari HaKadosh says perhaps the reason why it appears five times, Zois Tairas, is not only to teach us that a person who speaks Lashon Hara as if he's violated, you know, the severity of the Easter of speaking Lashon Hara. Perhaps it's to teach us how the person who speaks Lashon Hara rehabilitates himself. How should he rehabilitate himself? By learning Torah. You use your speech for positive things, that transforms your speech from being speech which is harmful and negative and destructive to being productive and positive. How do you do that? Is by learning Torah. That's why it appears five times. It's pointing us in the right direction, you know, like a little arrow. How do you fix Lashon Hara? Chamisha Chumshei Torah is by learning Torah. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Erchin, and the commenting on the posting, and say for Mishlei Mar Peloshon Eitz Chaim. If you have an ailment of the tongue, a broken tongue, the cure for the tongue is Eitz Chaim. What's Eitz Chaim? Eitz Chaim Hu Machazikava refers to Torah. Or what is the punishment for the Mitzrayah? What does his Tahara process entail? He brings a carbon of two birds, one which is shechted as a carbon, one which is left alive. Why does he bring a carbon of birds? So the Gemara says in Erchin, he is chattering, you know, he is chirping. Hu osa maisa petit, mida keneged mida, he should bring a carbon of animals that chirp, that run their mouths, the birds. They're osa maisa petit. So he brings in that carbon of birds. But why two? Why two birds? One which is shechted, one which is kept alive. So Sfasemis explains, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, because when a person speaks Lashon Hara, they do two aveiros. Number one, he uses speech in a harmful way, a destructive way. And that's represented by the bird that shechted and put to death. That kind of speech has to be curtailed, has to be, you know, we have to kill that kind of speech. We can't have it at all. That's the bird that's put to death. But then also, he committed the aver, he missed an opportunity to use his speech positively, for Torah, as he could have used it for. And that's represented by the bird that's left alive and sent out into the wilderness. Because that kind of speech is the one that we have to capitalize upon. We have to use even more. But perhaps last thing, on even a slightly deeper level, perhaps the reason why Zois Tairas appears five times with regards to the Mitzrayah, the one who speaks Lashon Hara, is because a person who speaks Lashon Hara corrupted five things. Because we have five kirchas of speech. The Plujava Rebbe writes in his Sefer Tzvila Tzadik. We have five kirchas of speech. There are five places from the mouth and where the letters of the Aleph Beis are enunciated. We have the throat. Some letters are enunciated in the throat. Some in the palate. Some in the tongue. teeth, and lips. Each place articulates certain letters in the halophase. So you corrupted all five kirchas of speech by speaking Lashon Hara, so it appears five times, Zos Tairas. And how do you fix it? By using those five kirchas of speech, to use them for Talmud Torah. And perhaps, continues the Blush of the Rebbe, that's why we have five Lashonis of Geula. We have a Hitzesi, V'Hitzalti, V'Go'alti, V'Lokachti, V'Havesi. One Lashon of Geula that's reserved for the Geula Asida, for the coming of Mashiach. Because when we will learn how to be Matayr, all five of these Lashonis will achieve the goal of the Seder. One of the goals is to speak properly, not Anos Alpi Hadibor. Then we'll be Zaycha to have the fifth Lashon of Geula, V'Havesi. And the last thing is, he continues, that's why at the end of Magid we have Lefichach, Anachnu Chayavim Lahoidais. So if we'll be Zaych to that, if we'll be successful, we could be able to be Moedah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that he took us out, May Avdus Lecherus, May Yagoin Lesimcha, May Evel Liyom Tov, May Orgado, May Afela Lorgado, Umishibud Legeula. Five Lashonos of Geula, five expressions of redemption. Why all five? May Avdos Lecherus, May Yagon Lesimcha, Evel, Leyomtov, Afela, Largado, Shiva, Legeula. Why five corresponding to those five kirchas of speech that we have? So if we're successful, Amir Tashem, Rabbi, in the Avodah of the Seder, achieve everything that we have to, Amir Tashem will be Zeche to Behevesi, to the Geula, Asida, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will bring about the coming of Mashiach, Bimhev Yomeinu. Amen.